Stuart was an eminent comedian in town. Mm-hmm. It was all of Roger, the more flourishing writer,
mm-hmm. DJ. Where's Hyder and where's Stuart on this map? Where?
Not much. Mm. This would be about right here. Here's Hyder and here's Stuart.
Mm-hmm.
What's the river? And this is all rolled up into one community here.
Uh-huh. So this is the United States down here.
This is the United States here.
Mm-hmm.
You get a map from there.
Yeah, I will. That's interesting. How long were you in Hyder?
To April 1929.
So about a year.
Two years. 2 years.
Were they mild winters? Except for a lot of snow, or were they cold?
They don't have mild winters.
They don't. I think of Southeast as having mild winters. Guess not everywhere. Mm. How? By the time you left, was there another commissioner that replaced you?
Yes.
Was it a political appointment?
Yes.
Is that what this is?
Yes.
Were you Republican?
Yes.
And the guy who came in as Democrat?
Oh, no, wait a minute. The post was vacant. I was not going to be immobilized. It closed down for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the money together for them to maintain the judicial system. So I reactivated when I went there. And when I left, I was succeeded by an attorney. A friend of mine from Juneau, so maybe he was in Juneau. I went to Arthur Fox.
Oh.
He'd been in the territory a long time. He went to Hyder and succeeded me there. And I went to Ketchikan and assumed the same job in Ketchikan.
You were commissioner in Ketchikan then?
Mm-hmm.
How many people were there when you left Hyder? Said there were about 3 or 4. No, about 1,000 people when you got there, right?
Half
that many when you left. So you really were there during the boom?
Yeah.
The boom time. Yeah. Which, is there a harbor? Is Hyder on the water? Could they take the ore or whatever that they were going to get from there and ship it down? How did that work?
Well, there are harbors on both sides of that. Shipping on Canadian boats took it over there, and shipping on American boats shipped it over from Hyder.
Mm-hmm. Which, was that again the Alaska Steamship Company? Did they ship out of Hyder?
They were other types of smaller vessels called.
Mm-hmm.
On there, we've got lots of more.
Did they take it to Juneau, and then someone took it from Juneau down? Or did they just...
No, you come to Ketchikan first, you see. You backtrack.
I'm backtracking, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's right, you go to Ketchikan.
The mail boat came in there once a week.
Mm-hmm.
A small vessel. 7 or 8 feet off, so you carry a limited amount of samples from carbon. 4 samples. They sell out for the alive.
Mm-hmm.
But, some degree, they haul them to...
Did they bring any of it to smelters?
There are no smelters in Alaska, then or now.
Yeah. So did they? Where did they take it?
Tacoma was a place together with all the Americans. Going away from concentration.
Mm-hmm.
Still is.
Were there a lot of natives in Hyder?
None.
Mm-hmm. Well, once you left Hyder, how did your wife like Hyder?
Well, I don't know. I think she was a nice people there.
Were there any other women?
Oh, yes.
There
was. That was school, right? Couple of churches.
Oh.
Couple of doors, pretty important.
Did they have any roads?
Yes. And the interior roads going around, after getting back up into the Canada again, come to the Big Missouri. Mm-hmm. It's the name of a mine that was developed up there. And also next to it was the another one, which was far larger, built on the Canadian side. And when we came in, I think I had a reduction plan. They reduced the ore from the part they smelled.
Mm-hmm.
And they built a tramway from there to Niagara, BC, across the Congo, I can't get times in the place. They brought this ore in bulk and went by tramway, about 10 or 12 miles long.
What's a tram line?
Lots of things goes overhead on a cable.
Okay.
And back and forth. And the ships called in there on scheduled basis, and ore carrying ships and tubes up to come. And they had quite a community up there. They operated the year-round underground. They didn't care about the snow or the weather. But except that they had to ship in supplies, and they had to come to American vessel right across the line.
And this is Canadian gold, too, isn't
yes.
it? And they got it, they went down to smelters in Tacoma?
Yes.
Didn't they have any smelters in Canada?
Yes, they did, but this Tacoma was getting a technical problem. It was technically acceptable if they smelted Tacoma. They could handle it without remaking their equipment. British Columbia smelters couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
They had an incoming cargo there, a supply of powder and hardware and whatnot. And the Premier Mining Company maintained an operating a line of horse-drawn sleds to hold the supplies in on slaves for.
Horse-drawn sleds?
Yeah.
Oh.
They had stables and then hider, and they picked up this cargo and bound it on where the Canadian ships came in. And took it up to the
mm-hmm. Was it snow all year round?
No, but it was damn near. As a matter of fact, it had warm summers,
mm-hmm.
hot summers, Alaska.
Yeah.
2 months out of the year. And then the snow began to age. By spring, the snow already on the road for the team with 6 or 7 feet of ice.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have trouble with the sleds sliding off and falling down and the big snow from the road. But it didn't get off there until May.
What did they use during the summer months?
They used wagons.
Were there any problems with horses? You see dog sled now. Did the horses fare well?
I think so. Mm-hmm. They had places along the way when they took the wheels and took the water.
Mm-hmm.
On the first day of the New Year's Eve, the mining committee invited them, hired people up there. We went up in sleds for the two people. So.
Mm-hmm. So the first night you came up, you came up in sleds? From where?
I was living at Hyder, and they invited the community. There was 50 or 60 people at the party, more slaves. Hyder and Stewart,
mm-hmm.
up to the Premier Mine, 12, 14 miles up the valley.
Who owned the Premier Mine?
The American Smelting and Refining Company.
It's a Canadian mine, though.
Yes.
But American company owned
yes,
it.
Yes.
So were there mostly American workers there, or were they?
Well, they were fussing all the time. They had a number of immigration and customs agents there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fussing all the time about the mine was trying to keep certain jobs on the plant open to Americans, and the thieves were trying to stop them. So there was a little mild fussing about that.
In the end, what happened?
Nothing.
Did you normally get around in sleds? Is that, or in,
no,
in horses,
no,
or in cars, or how did you walk?
Well, that's pretty close.
Walk.
Yeah, there were one or two cars in there. Last spring. Summer. Well, I had a commercial freight hauling, and he hauled stuff up to the prospector and dumped it off to the place. And he had a car. He hauled some of the back end of the automobile.
Mm-hmm.
But shortly after that time, it all, trucks were brought in there. The roads were improved, so.
Did the roads connect anywhere into Canada?
Just the Big Missouri Mountains.
Just
and the Premier Mountains.
So the roads would, they would end at Hyder, is that?
Oh, coming out, yeah.
They would just end.
There's a road between Hyder and Stewart. Along the street.
Mm-hmm.
That was 2 miles.
2 miles. Okay. Hyder seems very interesting. Seems like it must have been. It must have been a very interesting experience to be at Hyder.
Yeah,
from Hyder, where did you go? Did you go back to Ketchikan?
Yes.
And you were commissioner there?
Yes.
What kind of cases did you handle there?
There was still prosecuting bootleggers in the principal criminal activity.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was just ordinary run-of-the-mill type of things.
Were there any mining interests at Ketchikan?
Yes, but they're fragmented and spotty. There had been one time quite a little mining activity there, but the ore deposits were found to be shallow and worked out shortly. And they were, it was the tail end of the mining period.
Mm-hmm.
But I came back to Hyder.
What was the difference between Hyder and Ketchikan? What was Ketchikan like?
Well, Ketchikan was basically it. In that time, it developed into a fishing village.
Mm-hmm.
Spent out along the beach there, 5 or 6 miles. Pretty many of the people lived there, and we had ways to be hauled and go out and work on the maritime, like you see it in the pictures. And there was a cool storage plant with 7 or 8 salmon cans.
Mm-hmm.
And they used Philippine China labor and Chinese labor. Okay. They were brought in the summertime on the cruise ships.
Did they ever have problems with the Immigration and Naturalization Service?
Well, they didn't, not, I don't think so. They didn't mm-hmm. buy out anything. They were not probably at least mm-hmm. people there. They had to get their offer. People
mm-hmm. About how many people came in? The Filipinos and Chinese?
Almost in the area, 1,000.
About 1,000?
Something like that, yeah. 10 canneries, about 750.
So there were 10 canneries?
At least so.
Yeah.
And then they increased to 50 or 60.
Were the only workers that came in, were they the only workers?
Oh, no. They had women and kids all worked in the canneries. Mm-hmm. Men fished. All the labor was consumed, that's the reason they brought it to a place in China. They couldn't get enough labor.
Still have problems?
Still have problems.
Yeah. Were there ever, is this when you developed an interest in a fishing law, a salmon? And that's sort of, up to this time you were dealing mostly with mining, is that right?
Right, right.
And now you were dealing with fishing?
Right.
Fishing types of things?
Right, yeah.
Well, I've heard from many people that you've represented many of the canned salmon interests. And is this the time in Ketchikan when you developed an interest in canned salmon and the problems of the salmon industry? Is that correct? So this is the is this your first was this your first experience dealing with the problems of how did it compare to dealing with mining law? Did you? Was it more interesting? Were there more?
I think it was a little faster. Turned over for the mining excuse their way of dragging themselves out. Partly because of the climate, too. Not happening. However, fishing is highly seasonal, too. You see, the fishermen are doing things 6 or 7 months out of the year. Idaho was a mining state, North Idaho particularly, and the law school had a pretty good mining course. So I knew something about mining and nothing about fishing.
Who are the other attorneys in town in Ketchikan?
At that time? Well, Lester Gore.
Was that Gore and Jernberg?
Yes.
Were they a partnership at that time?
No. I worked a little bit with them Lester until I wasn't really in question. You're not prohibited from practicing law, you just can't practice in law, of course. And we worked together in Harvard, I sort of Texas Education. Until 1930. No, I was 31. He was appointed district judge at Nome. I'm not sure of that. I think that's right. But there was a physical appointment in the next fall, 32. The Republicans lost out. He was already up there. So it must have been 31. Then I moved into the, I maintained an office there with him. I don't think this is anything to put in the book, but this is really how it worked. And when he went to Nome, I took over his clients. And when he came back, I had a different arrangement, and I had a different joint office with him. So we were joined office partners from 1930, 31, 1960.
Oh, boy. What kind of practice did Gore have?
Fishing.
Fishing. So you took over all his fishing?
While he was gone.
While he was gone. What kind of cases were they? What were the disputes about?
Well, there was a criminal case element to that, and fishing violations. Which generally were handled by other lawyers. I worked in that area. All it had to do was seasons and so on. Representing a good year, representing an industry friendly federal groups that police the fishermen to maintain its, determine the open seasons and I can't think of the right name. Wardens.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't necessarily just actually people violating the regulations. They were holding hearings and processing new regulations all the time.
The wardens were?
Yes, the hearings were held in the law. They conducted the hearings.
Mm-hmm. Where did they get their authority?
Federal officials.
Were they lawyers or were they?
No, they were fishermen. Biologists, they were supposed to be a lot of them.
And they made the fishing regulations?
They made recommendations to the Commissioner of Fisheries in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
He made the regulations.
But they heard all the cases, or they?
They had hearings.
Hearings.
They weren't lawsuits.
Were they fined? Was that? The penalty?
Okay, now you're talking about something else again. You're talking about finding the sense of fishing on Sunday, which is prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
Not fishing in closed waters, which is a criminal matter. What we're talking about is the process by which you determine what baits you fish in open a certain area, and what baits are closed, what the general conditions are. None of those are developed at hearings.
Mm-hmm.
First at the local level, then at the Seattle level, then Washington, D.C.
I see. Oh, you did. Both you and Mr. Gore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The candidates had representation. Is there somebody who spoke on their behalf or advanced their agent, our position?
Mm-hmm. So that's when you started working for the canneries. What canneries were there?
There were 12 15. All of them.
Mm-hmm. What were the names of some of the ones that were there when you first arrived?
Well, living there.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Masco.
Did Alaska Packers have one then, or not till later?
They had, yes, they were there. They looked at me. They had this place. They closed them. They didn't maintain them. Very long, two. But
what other part of the state were they? You.
Oh, and then Kodiak and Bristol Bay.
Bristol Bay, yeah. Yeah.
Northwest Fisheries, the Outlands. Some of the part of the Outlands. The number of plants has decreased from 11 or 12 to 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm. Why is it so bad?
Well, it isn't so bad. They have approximately the outcome of the production of the three of them that it doesn't have before because of developed high-speed and modern machinery mechanization which largely does it.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to plant, try to pack 40,000 acres, 40,000 cases. It's considered normal. Top side of normal. Now the plants trying to get 200,000 cases.
Oh my God.
Entirely different processing machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's automated.
So that meant fewer plants of that?
Right.
Fewer plants. Yeah. That's very interesting. When you did this while you were commissioner in Ketchikan, is that right?
Well, I wasn't commissioner very long. I was in 1932. Sometime in the spring of 1933, I was going there.
You left Ketchikan in 1933?
I came down the office, I didn't maintain the door.
About how many people lived in Ketchikan at this time?
3,500.
Were there any natives?
Yes.
Were there problems between whites and natives at the time? And I know alcohol is always a problem,
yeah.
You know.
I don't think, since you're trying to say it, like a racial problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. The natives were badly discriminated against. The place they had this area set aside for them, and theaters, and restaurants, and hotels, and natives could go, and not do the living go, and natives were prohibited from going to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
They were discriminated against in the sense that they think of now at least.
Mm-hmm.
But they were wrecking upon the area. They drank a lot. They got jailed for that. But they were peaceful people. They were fairly black, so they were not brothers.
What about the white population? What did most of them?
Most of them were the Scandinavian population.
Norwegian?
All of Scandinavia. The fishing operations were similar in southeastern Alaska and Scandinavia.
Mm-hmm.
And these people came there and they understood that there was Scandinavians and Indians.
Did they get along at all, or is it two separate
Woods tell me he's going to hit me. He doesn't think I'm on charge. Mm-hmm.
What did the town look like?
It was spread out along the waterfront. It was about 6 miles of the waterfront. And the great man lived right on the beach. So they walked right from the house to the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And drying racks and fishermen sell it. Then, of course, they filled all that space and then they built on the side of the hill up above. It's links inside the hill. As the jewel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was there a road?
There was a road in the island there. There was a road about 3 miles from each way.
Mm-hmm.
6 miles or 7 miles away. Six streets. Cars weren't coming to use.
And 6 miles of road.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You all went out there once, I think.
They all did and just kind of up and down the road,
yeah,
is that?
Sure.
Playing around. Yeah. Were there horses on the street too? Or?
Some, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were there any wealthy people in Ketchikan?
Wealthy
in the sense, were there different classes of people? Was it?
Yes, the. Special people and merchants, I think, tend to look down on the Scandinavians.
Mm-hmm.
They just weren't given any problem, weren't given any consideration. They just fenced for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But there were social structures. The white people and merchants and they tend to hold themselves a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Scandinavians didn't mind much when they took.
Why not?
They're a bit of dependent on each other. They talk to Scandinavian language that is generally used for half the town or so. They have to talk to Scandinavians in their German language.
Did that kind of separate them even more? You know, their.
Well, I think it was. You know, they had difficulty in getting across the river.
Mm-hmm.
But their children went to school, and of course, the massive language was a little better.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any children?
Two.
One gets killed. At this time?
Yes.
They were born at this time? Did they go to school in Ketchikan?
One of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you took over Gore's. What other attorneys were in town in Ketchikan when you were there?
Well, let's finish the Gore thing. I didn't really answer that. I could say I kept that office the only one I had.
Mm-hmm.
So, when the war started, 41, 42, I spent more and more of my time in other places with the same as the end. I was out here about getting crew back and forth and supplies and so forth, working with the military. And similar point, and I wasn't there much.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept the office until 1960 years. And Gore continued at that time. Back then, he passed away about 4 or 5 years ago.
So he kept the office even after you left it, is that?
Hmm?
He kept the office even after. He kept the room.
You know, and we had a stenographer that worked for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
I was there very little. Family moved out to see it, so see how went back to Omaha and started with Omaha. 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And came back to Seattle in 1945.
So you went to Walla Walla from 41 to 45?
Yeah,
or your family?
We had home, yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then from 45 to
60.
To 60, you were in Seattle.
That's right.
Okay. Let's get back to Ketchikan. Do you remember the other attorneys that were in town?
Oh, I think so. You know, Holzheimer, William Holzheimer, H-O-L-T-Z-H-E-R-M-E-R, I guess. He had been district judge at Rome. After the United States attorney in Juneau. Ziegler, A.H. Ziegler was there. His claim to fame is he had a son named Robert. I don't remember when Robert was born. Again, no, I'll take that back. Yeah, he was only a couple years different from me than I was. He was 2 or 3 years old. Mm-hmm. Well, as time went on, the timber more and more developed, more and more utilized.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there were pulp mills. There was one sizable sawmill and two or three small ones. The timber was gradually becoming. Lumbering was becoming everyone part of the community's activities. And then, of course, about 40s, early 40s, the pulp mill was built. I'm not too sure about that. Probably not the 40s. And then, timber business became highly important to the space of the game in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
It was a year round industry, seasonal fishing game season.
Did you ever do anything with the timber?
No.
With timber
they came after I moved to Seattle.
They did. Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the other attorneys in town?
Duggan and McCain, D U D A N. Sherman Duggan, and Harry McCain, M-C-C-I-N.
Were they a partnership?
Yes.
Duggan and McCain, or Duggan and McCain?
A.H. Ziegler, Bob's father.
Mm-hmm.
There were 11 or 12 there, so I'm missing one. Billy Paul, he was a native. Patrick Gilday,
how do you spell it?
G-I-L-D-A. George Grigsby. Joe Keel, K-E-H-O-E.
Was he a judge?
Well, yes, he was there. I succeeded him as the United States Commissioner there. He had a practice of law, had an office every year or two, and then he went and became the United States Attorney. At that time at Seward, just before they had the courthouse, before they had the court system here.
Mm-hmm.
Then he actually became district judge at Nolan. He painted quite a well established. His pictures are very much in demand in what we're here now. Mm-hmm.
That's 10, including you. Was there a Ketchikan bar?
Yes. There was.
On
Saturdays.
For lunch?
Yeah.
Other
activities.
What other activities?
Drinking.
All Saturday?
Well, for sure.
Where did you meet?
Well, we met in the back end of one of the restaurants there. It was a kind of like Ingersoll Hotel.
What hotel?
Ingersoll.
Is that I-N-G-E-R?
I-N-G-E-R, that's what I like. The judge attended, and I wasn't in the political session.
Who was the judge?
Well, who it was. It was Tom Reed. No, Reed didn't come. He was not very well. But he was succeeded by
mm-hmm. What happened at the drinking meeting? A meeting.
They were social things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just all yourself, like all you do. Politics.
Were many of these people involved in politics?
All of them.
All of them?
Previously, they had been a delegate to Congress,
mm-hmm.
partially speaking. The emergency on both, neither one of them seated.
Probably know the history of that, mm-hmm. The Sulzer case? Is that?
Hmm?
Isn't that the Sulzer? There's a case called Sulzer where I think it was a contested election. That.
Well, they carried on the contest for the full term of the two-year term, and then both on the last day, both of them were seated and both withdrew their 2 years' pay.
Well, that's a good way to work it out.
Yeah.
But why don't we just go down the line? As far as politics goes, was Gore?
Yes, he was active in Republican politics.
Republican politics? Did he hold any positions?
Yes, he was just a judge of law.
Just, that's right. Okay. Anything else? I noticed you watching. Do you have to go? It's okay. We can keep going tomorrow or set up another time. Let me just. There. Holzheimer was district judge at Nome?
Yes.
Right. You tell
the
me.
The other lawyer was the assistant United States attorney, Walter King.
Oh, you got him. Good. Walter King.
Yeah.
Was Holzheimer Republican or?
Holzheimer and King were both Democrats.
Democrat. What about A.H. Sigler?
He was a Democrat. Republican. Ran for a delegate to Congress once against him with anyone.
Okay. What kind of law did he practice?
General.
Did everybody practice? Was it general practice?
Took everything you get.
Mm-hmm. So no one really specialized, did that?
Not. Probably not, no.
Mm-hmm. Were any of them known for doing anything particularly well? Any kind of,
Well, Griggs was a kind of good writer, he did pretty good. No, I don't think of the sense that they know what you know now, or think of now, none of this was precious in that field.
Mm-hmm.
Anything.
Was it hard to practice? Was it hard to make a living practicing law?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to get rich in it, but I didn't know how to make a living unless I'm thinking of my life.
Sherman Dugan, how was he political?
D-U-G-A-N.
Dugan.
see if I can hear it.
In Anchorage?
Yeah, for sure.
Was he Republican or Democrat?
No, I don't think. He was Republican. Yeah, he is. He was Republican.
Did they meet in Ketchikan? Is that Dugan and McCain?
No, I think not. McCain was superintendent of schools here in the era or something. At least for him.
Is he a big talker?
Yeah. You'd have to confirm that. Did I say superintendent?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I imagine if he was in this, he just controlled it for some more national. I don't know. He's a smart fellow.
Where is he from?
Some place in Oregon. In one school.
Willamette is in Oregon.
Yeah.
Willamette?
Yeah. The University of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Where was Dugan from? Do you remember?
Middle West someplace. I don't
remember. Was Gore from Washington?
Yes.
He was from Washington. And Holzhammer?
Hmm?
Holzhammer? Where was
Holzhammer. He was a graduate of Ann Arbor. Well, I think he was Middle West. I know he's from Middle West. He'd been right in Seattle before he came to Nebraska.
Did he know any of the people you knew from Idaho?
No.
Ziegler, where was he from? Billy Paul.
He was coordinated. He was practicing. He's a specialist. He specialized in the golf. The other day, he didn't come out too well, but Paul did fine.
He got paid, is that what you think?
He was a son at the end of the bar, and well, after about a year, he left the bar, and he was great.
Was Fred in Ketchikan when you were there?
Worked for him.
Worked for him. In your office?
Yeah.
Was Billy Paul or William Paul, was he political at all?
All the time, yes. He was very active.
Democrat?
No, Republican.
Oh. Did he seek office, hold office?
He left the legislature here once, I think. I don't think he was going to that time. He was holding the office at all.
What kind of cases, when you say native law, what kind of cases usually arose?
Well, they don't have to do with liquor. But they'd also have family internal. He could talk the language of family. And he could talk. And all of a sudden. They had the usual type. They had the size of their role being sued by the other lawyers for collecting unpaid bills. You take care of that.
So the other lawyers would pay him to collect the bills from?
Well, no. Mm-hmm. The other lawyers would sue the native. Mm-hmm. Sure, okay, Bill, the native. All of the debt. And they would be sued, they'd bring them out of Paul.
If they weren't paying the other lawyers, how did Paul get his?
They weren't the other lawyers. Luckily, the native had a charge account at the D.R. Heckmer is a standard figure there. He didn't pay the bill and turn over to Heckmer's lawyer, Fleck, when he bought the suit to collect the bill, they called to turn the neighbor, business.
Mm-hmm.
Other things are the same issue, divorces, probate.
Was Paul from Ketchikan? Was he born in Ketchikan?
No. Yeah, citizenship is challenged at the time of the 3rd. You're going to be in Canada.